Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. I'm Susan Pinsky, and I am so honored to be here today with the pioneer of podcasting, Lynette Carolla.
Oh, hi.
Lynette Paradise Carolla.
Yeah.
She's a little piece of paradise in my studio today.
That's my maiden name.
And we also have clairvoyant Jennifer Schaefer.
Hello.
And psychic rebel Colby.
Hello, everybody.
Here to address a topic that was sold to me by one of my Facebook callers.
That everybody's talking about.
That is fascinating.
Janelle, a long time Facebook follower and Calling Out listener, she sent me pictures of orbs on her sister's head during a baptism and asked me about ADHD and psychic help with that. And then this week she said, I've been binging on cereal all weekend. Why don't you do a show? And I said, you know, you should be a producer because I am always trying to think of new ideas. And I knew Lynette Carolla loves this stuff.
I live for this stuff. I watch all the Datelines, the 2020s of the world. And when I heard about this podcast, I started listening to it. I was at the gym. And I'll be honest with you, the first couple episodes, I was like, what? I was confused. I realized I had to stop everything of what I was doing to focus. Mm-hmm. You really had to, like, everybody said that listened to the show, that you really had to almost not do anything to really pay attention and let it sink in. But anyway, by episode three, I was hooked.
Don't know what it is, it's basically...
Google it if you don't know what
well,
it is.
Well, it's a podcast about...
It's called
A
Cereal,
young girl,
right?
Who was murdered by her boyfriend, possibly, who's now serving time in jail. And it's a long story of mystery and intrigue where the case was basically pinned on him because he was a tortured lover. And, and she was, you know, he just killed her. He strangled her. He didn't like the fact that she had a new boyfriend, and she basically was found dead, and they blamed it on him. And there are a lot of holes in the defense and
a lot
in the prosecution. And there's, oh God, I'm doing a great job here.
No, you're
Lynette,
doing,
you explain
no,
it.
No, you're doing good. You're doing great.
So,
it's teenagers in love back January 13th, 1999 is when it happened in Maryland. And the whole case seems a little suspect, especially with the prosecution attorneys and the defense attorney seem to maybe drop the ball at some point. And I guess this kid is in jail. He's been in jail since 99. And you hear recordings. There's one woman that's interviewing him. She's doing all the research. And you hear him on the phone from jail. And he sounds very charismatic. And I personally like the guy.
Yes.
Right.
And
so
the whole thing, rooting for it's how many, like 12 episodes each week, rooting that you're going to find out at the end he's innocent. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. If you listen, hopefully everybody's listened to the whole thing. But there's the ending.
And it's a very popular podcast.
It's sweeping the nation.
Done by NPR professionals.
Yes, done by NPR. And they're doing another one, I think, in 2015.
Is it Sarah Koenig?
Sarah Koenig. She's a reporter and a journalist.
And it's very well done.
She's
very well.
She's the voice on it, right?
Yeah, she's the voice.
She's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Very engaging.
It took them a year to go through every detail of the case.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
she combed the case.
The timeline. Mm-hmm. She explains every detail, and she goes through all the information that the police had and the phone records and so on and so forth. And honestly, it does make you think that some of this investigation was questionable.
Right. And I want to hope that this guy may not, you know, who knows? He could be an innocent guy sitting
in
jail.
He was a young 17-year-old football, head of the football team, Muslim
prince,
went to temple or went to
his mosque. Yes.
What do they call mosque?
Yes.
I know. I was
he volunteered for things. He was very respectful,
very outgoing. Had a girlfriend, but was not really supposed to have a girlfriend because he was Muslim, and there was sort of information about that, how they had to hide their relationship. Right. And
same with his girlfriend, the one that died. I think she was not allowed to date. So
I was raised
Asian.
Mormon. I get it.
Yeah.
I could
so
not
there
date
was
anybody.
These teenagers that were not allowed to date.
And
I
you
mean,
have to listen
Muslim,
to the podcast to really
Asian.
Get the intricacies of how how the family was involved and how but then he tells a story of, I dated. I had other, girlfriends. He sounded like a little bit less of a religious Muslim boy. He just sort of did, he's Muslim and he was part of the mosque, and but he was not like, their number one boy. He had a girlfriend. he smoked pot.
Right. Kind of a regular teenager.
Had other
back
girlfriends.
In 99. Or, yeah. So
he was a player.
He was a player. And we hopefully our guest will call in Mark Garagos.
Yes.
Super
and,
attorney.
And that's what's even more exciting is we're going to have a really special guest, Mark Garagos, call in, who will talk about the trial and what he thinks on behalk of that. Anyway, so
talk to him. Yeah.
Okay,
so
basically, I invited Psychic Rebel Colby and Jennifer Schaefer and Khalees Simone to sort of look into this, and they spent, the last weekend or so listening to the podcast, and I interviewed Khalees yesterday, and she doesn't do this typically. She will explain that, and we'll play her piece. It's about 20 minutes into the show, and it will... But we're going to start first. She kind of tapped into the crime scene and where she saw the girl murdered and what she saw. She but then, she also doesn't do this typically, so it was kind of a fun, she really enjoyed getting into the
who
details and
how
maybe it'll help.
How'd you find her? Who is she?
Khalees is one of...
You found her through
Lisa,
me.
Lisa, yeah.
I introduced you.
The Rebel.
Yeah, through the Rebel, and she's one of Lisa Williams'
students.
Faithful students. She's actually a very good, clever.
She's great. We actually did a show together a few months ago, and it was a lot of fun.
She's been on a previous show.
Super fun. Great.
She was on a previous show with Samantha Shocker, and then she also read Jenna Kravitz. So she's on previous shows if you want to hear her skills. She's good. She's really good.
Yeah,
she's
great.
But now we have Jen Schaefer, who you work, don't you do this for homicide? And you work for the police and you do homicide stories? And
yes. Jen is a forensic
I'm so excited
psychic.
To hear what you think and to hear her dig in. And
I think a lot of things, but for this work, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to let that go. And so this is the first time that I've looked at a case this way. Normally, I get just a name. And, usually they tell me if it's a male or female. And they tell me if they're missing or if they're deceased. Okay. And then the information comes through. And I tell them, I have a connection either with the person, whoever's working on the case or the family. And then I give the evidence that they either have to go out and get or they already have.
Wow. So when you say them, that the authorities, that's who comes to you, the family and the
families
police?
And the police.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was a different, she was in Hawaii listening to this podcast.
Right.
But
she
does have spirits flying around and tapping in. She had a message from somebody, and then Colby, was also on vacation having a great time in New Jersey with her family, and she listened to it too. But I don't know anything that she's
seen. You're from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey. I can always depend on her to come up with her side, and she's got some interesting insight.
Yeah, I'm dying here with the psychic thing.
So, I mean, what do you think, Lynette? What is your instinct on this whole thing?
I kind of don't want to say until towards the end because I want to hear what the psychics.
Yeah, how about at the end?
I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to say.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I think you and I maybe should not say anything until the towards the end. I don't want to taint the air.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's how I feel. That's the vibe I'm going with. I don't know.
Okay.
Unless you want me to tell you.
But. No, honestly, I think that we need to sort of explain, you know, what the general consensus is, because a lot of people have listened to this and they're like, well, yeah, he did it. And maybe Jay's more involved and he got away scot-free. And, and you know, this girl, you know, we don't know why he may have done it. Maybe it was because he was mad about the ex-boyfriend or the new boyfriend, and he's, you know, he really is a psychopath, and he can't remember where he was when it happened.
See, now Jen's shaking her head. Now,
Well, that's like what the general consensus is.
And okay.
Because when they finished, when they went through this every single detail and they got to the last episode of the podcast, they basically came up with no clear decision.
Except for...
And then they said some guy got out of jail at that particular time, and he was a serial killer or a serial rapist, right?
Not a serial rapist. He was a flasher, and I think that was the
beginning.
Okay,
they came up.
No,
with
the guy at the end. They said that some guy got out of jail for a certain period of time, and he liked Korean women. And a year later, they found another Korean woman found dead, because this girl Han was Korean, and that they never checked any of the DNA in any of the evidence, because they just basically went by the testimony of this kid that was with Adnan. Mm-hmm. It was Adnan and Jay together. Mm-hmm. And they just they never really tested any of the evidence. So there was sort of this little twist at the end, but then they ended it.
Right. But they're also going through with the DNA.
Are they?
Testing.
Are they
that.
Do?
Adnan said
okay,
to go ahead
well,
and go through
maybe,
it.
Right, but how the hell do they do that? What
they
DNA?
Don't know what
where
they...
DNA? How do they get what from where? Where are they swabbing?
Why don't we ask Mark Garagos? He's calling in. We're gonna get him on the line.
All right. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you twos. I want to know what you guys think. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of people out there. I want to know what the psychics think about this. Jen, do you want to start? You're the one that works with the police.
The evidence that I get that isn't necessarily going to make sense, okay?
Okay.
But...
Well, you know what? I might want to save that for when Mark comes on.
Yeah.
Because I want
you
him
wanna
to
wait?
Hear it, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rebel okay. from Long Island.
New Jersey.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I said Long Island because I was talking to a friend today. I'm sorry.
I'm like, whoa.
Teresa Caputo.
Okay.
How dare I? I'm sorry. I love Jersey. Okay, so... Do we want your
well?
Opinion?
You know what? I'm gonna see if we can discuss this when Mark calls.
Okay,
we're waiting for him.
Okay, so what do we do?
We'll take a break and be right back.
Check us out on the web at callingout@susanpinsky.com for show notes and extended commentary. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. And now back to the show.
All right, we're back. We're waiting for Mark to call, and we will. He's a little busy right now. Yeah, he has a life. But
sitting by the pool with Chris Brown in Miami. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Mark is a great attorney. He'll be calling in shortly.
Yes, he
so,
is.
All right. So we were having a discussion about the handing your phone over. Okay, there's a part in the serial podcast where they say that when Adnan planned this murder, he basically gave his friend Jay his cell phone and his car.
No, well, Adnan's story, his alibi, his story is, I gave my friend Jay my car and my phone to go buy his girlfriend a gift. What I was saying off air is, what teenage kid gives some other kid who's really, they're not, apparently they weren't that best of friends,
right?
Who has a past or is known to be a hoodlum.
Well, he was a drug dealer and he worked in a porn store.
So what?
Not yet, though.
So why is Adnan giving him his car and his phone to go buy a gift for himself? But by the way, 17-year-olds, they don't think about buying a gift for their
girlfriend.
So
you thought that sort of punched holes in Adnan's...
That's wrong.
Adnan didn't do that.
I don't think
he just made that story up.
But that, I don't... believe that.
Well, they're two 17-year-olds that are 17, and they're pretty much assholes at that age, just so you know.
Yeah, but really, really quick, I just think it's important on a basic level for the listeners to know what we're dealing with is that there's a young man who has been convicted of the murder of his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
And then whether or not he's truly guilty or whether or not he got a fair trial or whether or not he got proper representation. So that's, and these are the players we're talking about, but that's like the main premise.
And it was
it.
Done back in 1999.
Right.
January 13th.
Right.
They had DNA back then too. I don't know where I was in 1999. Do you know where you were?
I was in LA.
Yeah.
I moved here in 97. So
all a blur to me.
I was doing fitness modeling. I was on the cover of magazines in
1999. There you go.
I was.
There you go. Uh-huh.
I was managing $500 million.
Really?
Wow.
As a stockbroker for Sullivan's Smith.
Really? So you know where you were that day?
Yes, I do. January 13th, I was... No.
All right. So can we ask these girls what they think now?
Okay.
That's
all
good.
Right. Well, we're waiting.
Dying to know.
Since we're waiting for, and we can always tell Mark when he calls.
Yeah, because okay. Mark's going to take over.
Yeah, he's going to. Like I said, he's a defensive.
Okay.
Attorney.
So basically, I asked Jennifer, you know, if she had an account, had any information from Christina Gutierrez.
Who's the attorney?
She was the defense attorney for Adnan, and she had two cases. One was thrown out because they called her a liar, which she was doing a better job at the beginning. He had a better chance of getting off during that case. And then the second case, she didn't really represent as well.
But she is now passed away, so it's important for the listeners to know she's no longer with us.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Right.
So I was really curious if any of you had a visit from Christina in the last 24 hours, because I did ask you to look into
to reach out to her. Blowing a call.
I didn't know it was her at first. And then a lot of people hang out with me that are in spirit in my car early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm able to diffuse that later. But she definitely came through, and she showed me how her mind was actually... she shouldn't have had the second case. She should not have had the second trial with him. And that she couldn't remember things, and that her mind was being...
deteriorating because of her illness?
She showed me remembering things and then, all of a sudden, getting stopped. He's here.
Okay, and on that note, we have Mark Garagos on the line.
Mark.
Were you talking about me not remembering things behind my back?
Yes.
We're talking about Jen was talking about you.
Can you come in my car, please? I could start talking about Lynette and I and a bottle of tequila.
Oh, God, I knew he was going to
I know, I was going to say, these are old buddies on the show here today.
Love Mark.
And neighbors.
I'm going to retweet that picture of you and I, Mark.
would you please?
I wanted to
send that as my Christmas card, but I thought your husband and my wife wouldn't appreciate it.
Well, and Lynette showed up with champagne today in the studio. This will be the first calling out with Susan Pinsky. So it should be really, we're just flying over here, Mark.
Flying by the seat
of our
pants.
Thank you so much for calling in, because we're calling out with you today, and we were just discussing while we were killing time waiting.
No pun intended. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have said that word.
Killing time, right. Thank you.
Yes. Was that... Christina Gutierrez was the defense attorney, which we were all kind of curious if he would have done better had he hired you.
Mark, well, first of all, I
always try to never second guess any lawyer.
Right.
She had a spectacular reputation as a very tough defense attorney. I know people always talk about the fact that she was disbarred the year after,
towards the end,
his trial. But it was for client trust and money issues. It wasn't for incompetency or ineffective assistance of counsel. However, I will tell you that some of the transcripts, you just have to scratch your head as to what was going on.
Right. Did you listen, Mark? Did you listen to the?
I was brought into this by my lovely daughter Tenny, who was obsessed with it.
I love that daughter.
She's a 2L, or
we should have had her on
that,
the podcast today.
She's the best.
With the only thing more dangerous is a third year law student.
You should have had her come on today. Wow. She would have been great.
Loves her daddy, and she wants to be just like her dad. And she's in her third year of law. school?
She's exactly halfway through. She just got a offer for the summer to go do indigent defense work. So ironically enough, in the Bronx, and that's what she's going to do. And she loves it.
We're going to have her on next podcast. So here's my instincts when I was just listening to it was that she got really ill. She started asking she asked for $10,000 for cash for a witness. I mean, you know, it's one thing to not, you know, have money and hand over a car when you're in the middle of a case or whatever. Like, you know, sometimes that happens. But they were asking this family to just cough up more and more money, and then things weren't getting done. So she was clearly showing some signs of dementia or something, or illness.
Well, you know what happens, Susan? I think you're spot on, because what happens all too often, I've seen it, and it's a tragedy, for people who do criminal defense work, usually it's a solo practitioner, and usually they're living hand to mouth, for any case that walks in. And when you get into a murder trial, and very few lawyers handle retained murder trials, as opposed to being a public defender or a court appointed where the court or the taxpayers are paying you. When you're retained, it's hard to maintain a practice if you're a solo practitioner and everybody else is screaming for you. And if you're not really getting paid, you get caught up in it and you don't have enough time and you start kind of swirling the drain, and you see it all too often.
Yeah, and actually Jennifer Schaefer, who's a forensic psychic, she works with the police all the time. She actually said this morning she was getting this message. You want to explain?
I was getting the message from her that she was delusional. You know, she got to the point where she couldn't remember things. She couldn't remember, you know, what she did, what she didn't do, who she asked for money, who she didn't ask for money, and she didn't have a supportive team because she showed me being in the hospital and how, you know, everything was cut. Like, she would get him, she would do her work, and then all of a sudden it would be gone. Like, she couldn't remember what she just did. And she was showing me how fuzzy everything was, but she kept going. She thought by stopping that, you know, that case and many others, that she was going to die, which she eventually did. But she was so fearful of stopping that, she felt like that was stopping her life. So she still did it, knowing that she shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't give up.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because she did explain like how she was in her bathroom this morning. She could see fuzzy. It seemed fuzzy, and she seemed out of control.
Out of control. Level. Completely out of control.
Yeah, and then she took a puff of her cigarette.
She's still smoking.
Which we knew she was a smoker, because I heard that on the podcast, but she said it like a smoker.
Yeah, I was going to say, better than smoking crack. But the problem is, the real problem is, I mean, it's this... People listen to Serial and they think, oh, that's just so awful. I mean, you have no idea how often this happens in the criminal justice system. I mean, this is just, I could go through case after case after case. I just argued one in the Court of Appeal the other day where I didn't try the case, but I picked up the case, and it was this poor woman and charged with the death of her four-week-old infant. I'm waiting for the Court of Appeals rule. She's convicted of murder, sentenced to 50 to life. Oh. This judge, between the judge and the DA, they ran over this defense lawyer like a truck had hit him. And he had no idea what was going on. Yeah. And this woman, I think, you know, was suffering from sickle cell, and they wouldn't let the lawyer get into it. They wouldn't let any evidence come in. They cut off the experts and everything else. It happens all too often. It's what's so frightening, and what's so dismayed, what makes me so dismayed over the criminal justice system.
I agree, Mark, because I went through a trial at Los Angeles Municipal Court with Mark and with a jury, and I saw the jury. I saw the whole process in front of me, and it is frightening because your life is in these people's hands, not just the judge and the attorneys, but the jurors as well. I mean, I wouldn't ask these jurors to pick out my outfit in the morning. It's frightening.
I couldn't
frightening.
Get on a jury.
But,
well, Lynette and I did go through that, and I will tell you, as Lynette says, she turned to me at one point and said, "How do you do this for a living?" Because it's a crapshoot so often. I mean, you never know which judge you're going to get. You never know who your jurors are going to be. You get people up there, and people feel like they've got a pass when they get into court, that they can just get up and they can lie their you know, their ass off. It's just, it's That's hard insane. To believe.
Oh, the lying, I can't believe either. People just lie. Hey, Mark, yep. I got a question. Okay, this is a question about the case. Why would the prosecutors give Jay a lawyer? Did you hear that? Did you hear about that in the case?
No, tell me that and I'll tell you why.
They brought in Jay for questioning. You know, Jay.
No, after he was booked. He was actually booked for being an accessory.
Right, okay. So they brought him in for questioning. And then at some point, the
prosecution picked his attorney.
I know why. Because he said that he helped bury the body in the Leakin Park. So clearly he was an accomplice and had exposure. So
absolutely.
They want to give him a lawyer because they want to negotiate some kind of a deal so that the lawyer will kind of basically scare him into cooperating. Yeah. I mean, that
which
is
they tried to do
that
happened.
They did with his, they also did that with Don, who was her current boyfriend before she died.
Mm.
Right. Exactly.
They totally scared him as well.
You know, that also happens all the time, where the prosecutors will suggest, go to this lawyer, don't go to that lawyer. We don't want the, you know, this lawyer could be difficult. He's gonna say screw you, blah blah blah, and not cooperate or play ball with the prosecution. When the defense, and people always say, oh, how could you be a defense lawyer? I said, you know, the dirtiest tactics that are ever used are by prosecutors when they are trying to put a case together. And intimidating people and threatening people and saying, you know, if you don't cooperate, you know, this may happen to your brother. If I did that as a defense lawyer, I'd be behind bars. But they, right. as prosecutors, right? they've got immunity.
Wow. Crazy.
It's great anger
crazy.
Management for them.
Okay. Yes. So I don't know if you.
But
ladies...
also the timeline was so off. Like they had two different testimonies in two different cases or court. They threw the first one out, and then the second time, the timeline totally changed. Nobody noticed that, or was it just maybe because Christina was completely losing it at that point, and she was already
well?
Gone.
And then you know you have that.
She showed
that
she's going.
Supposed anonymous caller contacting the police
right.
with the concentrate on the victim's boyfriend. Do you know how many times I have come across that? And when you drill down into it, it turns out it was never an anonymous caller. It was the cop just setting it up so that they'd have something to make the timeline change.
That makes so much sense. That's insane.
I've got a murder case that I tried in 2010 where they claimed that it was my client who was making the calls. 2 years later, we discovered after the trial, it wasn't. It was the victim who was having one of her friends call so that she could go out and get a TRO against the defendant. I mean, it was just, it's utter BS. I mean, the things that go on in the prosecution of cases and with law enforcement is enough to curl your hair.
Oh,
right. And I always wondered how this Jay guy, you know, just came up with this long,
very
perfect
body,
story, you know, where he was. And then they went here and there, and then it didn't match up to the cell phone pings, and which, you know, threw me. I was like, well, that's probably a good thing. I mean, I kind of understand maybe the guy wasn't where he made some of this up. He seemed like kind of a liar from the beginning.
But I mean, did you see, they just did, I read somewhere, they did an interview with him, and I forget on which website.
Yeah.
And it was an extensive interview, and
I
they
saw
were.
It, yeah.
Did you see that? Right.
Yeah.
And he's got a million and one excuses as to why his story changed 10 different times.
Uh-huh.
And first it was because he was worried about being a weed dealer. And then
right.
it's worried about his grandmother. And then he's worried about this. And then, well, why did you lie about this? Well, I mean, that was, he was so fertile for cross-examination on that. And if you're going to ever fault a defense lawyer, that was where it was going to be, because that was somebody who wouldn't have withstood, you know, 2 hours of good cross-examination.
What about the 3 hours prior to him being tape recorded back then?
That's another thing that's just infuriating.
Isn't that insane?
They keep trying to pass laws that make it mandatory for the police to record. You know, the FBI, believe it or not, they have a policy that they won't record interviews. I mean, if you can believe that, because they don't want anybody coming back and saying, well, I didn't say that. And well, let's listen to the recording. Boom, there's nothing there. And who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the cop, the FBI agent, or you're going to believe the suspect?
Wow.
And then, you know, he was so worried about all these other things, like being pot salesman or whatever. But I was always wondering what Han Lee had on him and Adnan. Like, maybe he was worried about something else. Maybe that's why she was murdered. Like, there was something that she
yes.
knew.
So, Mark, what do do you think? Why was she murdered? Who murdered her? What the fuck? I mean, obviously, these teenagers are stoned.
I don't know, but I'll tell you something which is funny, the irony, because it's called serial.
Right.
I've always said there's so many cases where they always focus in on the boyfriend, the husband, the spouse, okay?
Right.
And then it turns out later. Everybody remembers the Elizabeth Smart case.
Yes.
What they forget is there was that poor guy who, at first, they were looking at Smart's father.
I mean,
he was the one, and then the uncle. And it was always focusing on the family. And then they had some poor schmuck who they put in jail on a parole violation, and Nancy Grace all but convicted the guy, and he ends up dying in jail. And then it turns out it's some crazy messianic guy wandering the forest who's got Elizabeth Smart in tow. And what people don't realize is there are serial killers out there.
Yes.
There are people who do random killings. I mean, this grim sleeper who's in L.A. is a perfect example
I've actually worked on that case. I've worked with some detectives on that.
So, Colby, do you have any insight into this, like, psychically that you can sort of bring to the table?
Yeah, I do, just because, as always, I probably have an opposite opinion of most other people. But, here's what I think. I think he's guilty. I think he did it. Do I think he could have gotten off had he had a better attorney? Absolutely. This kid could be free if his attorney had done a better job. But do I feel like instinct, like, because even when I was listening to the podcast, I kept feeling like Hyman, like I just kept feeling her energy, and I kept feeling like they have the right guy. He just didn't get great representation because there's not enough physical evidence to technically convict him. So do I think he could have gotten a better trial? Do I think he could have gotten a plea deal? Absolutely. Without a doubt. Jay, to me, feels like, yes, his story changed. Absolutely. But it's because I think he was a little bit more of an accomplice than he let on. And
yes,
I think he was afraid of it being blamed on him or him being caught and stuck with it. So I just feel like...
So he made up a bigger story.
So I feel like he just tried to... He's nervous, you know? Okay, let me... You know, but authentically, like, my gut tells me... if we look at the paper facts, there's nothing for me to say, oh, we should believe Jay. But my gut says, believe... This guy's not lying.
He goes, the circumstances might have changed, but he did it.
Yeah, I just know he did. Like, I just feel it. And then I feel like she was killed. I keep feeling like she was actually killed in the car, in his car, not her car, or in a car, and I feel like it's in a parking lot, and I can't tell if it's the parking lot of the school or the parking lot somewhere else, but I keep feeling like it's in a parking lot. Then maybe he makes a call to this guy Jay, or says, and that's what happens, transpires. And I haven't looked at all the timelines. I haven't looked at everything. I'm going off of listening to it and what am I feeling, what am I hearing from Highland, what are they saying to me, and that's really where I come from.
But so that is interesting. Mark, do you think, because I know you guys, I'm sure Mark's busy and he's got to go. But do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think a guy like this kid, Adnan, do people snap and they kill and they don't remember? I mean, is it something?
I just don't buy it. I don't think this guy comes out of nowhere, commits a murder. I think that what happened with Jay to me is an abomination. I mean, the Ritz and McGillivary, the detectives, they interviewed this guy, Jay, four times? They knew his story was changing. They still put him on. They give him a lawyer. They let him walk on this thing. None of it hangs together. How do you feel good?
How do you walk after being an accessory to something like this?
Yeah, and how do you feel good about it at the end of the day? I mean, I understand, and exactly what you were just saying about having a gut instinct. Well, you know, the interesting thing about it, you could have a gut that somebody's guilty. You can say, okay, I've got a really strong suspicion. But guess what? That's not beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not good enough to get a conviction.
Right. That's what I was saying.
In a civil case, you've got to have clear and convincing evidence or a preponderance of the evidence. There wasn't either of those in a civil case when you're fighting over money. Here you're fighting over somebody's liberty.
Yeah, but that's what I had said. I had said he didn't get a fair trial and he could have walked away. So I definitely felt like had he had better representation, he could have easily, because there wasn't enough there.
Now, if it's premeditated as versus just a crime of passion, do get less time.
Well, the difference between murder and manslaughter is enormous. I mean, you talk murder, you're talking life sentences where, you know, depending on whether it's with or without special circumstances, you get parole or not. But if it's a heat of passion and you think you can have malice, the difference between murder and manslaughter is there's no malice, which means heat of passion or some imperfect self-defense. That is a fixed number of years, which means you'll get out. Life sentence, it's a crapshoot. Usually you lose the crapshoot.
Wow. So basically you think
he should not be in custody.
No, he should not be in custody.
For whatever reasons. I don't know what happened. I'm not close enough to it. But would I try that case? I mean, that's a great case to try. And I'll tell you, and the reason you want a better representation is because, lo and behold, guess what happens? You get on cross-examination, you might discover the truth. I mean, that's what cross-examination is. Somebody much smarter than me once called it the greatest search engine for the truth ever invented. And I think it's true.
And I feel like this, I mean, I actually feel like there either could be a third trial or it could somehow be opened up. So I feel like that potential is there for him.
He's up in January for a possibility.
I feel like there's someone who's going to review this.
What do you think, Mar? They said it was okay to test DNA or whatever. What DNA? Where DNA?
I don't think DNA is going to do it for you in this case. I think at some point in this case, somebody's going to come forward that's going to give some piece of evidence or recant, and then that's the best hope.
There's been a lot of recanting throughout.
Yeah,
so Mark,
a lot of it.
When are you going to do your next NPR Serial podcast then?
can I get with you?
Why don't you come on over to the Sideshow Network? We can get your own podcast, Mark.
Come on. Pick a
time I insist on being in the studio with you ladies.
Yes.
And I'll bring some of the mangria. Okay?
And bring us, we can get a psychic reading on one of your murder suspects or whatever.
I may bring you in to get the psychic reading before my next trial. I'll call you guys.
We would love to do that.
I work with attorneys.
Yeah.
Mark,
next calling out with Mark.
Thanks, ladies. I love you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
So if you need a really good defense attorney, check out Garagos and Garagos in Los Angeles.
If you find yourself on trial for murder, just give him a call.
Well, he's represented some of the best.
He represented me,
cases
Adam and I. And this is...
Well, you and Michael Jackson and Winona Ryder and Scott Peterson. And
just those people.
Susan McDougall, who used to do travel for when I was a travel agent. Mark and I did Mark's people and was followed by the police on a regular basis. But, you know,
from the sounds of it, you're right still now. Being followed.
Run,
Susan, run.
Okay, so now let's get to the actual.
Well, let's get a beer.
Well, really quick, though.
You touched on something about where you saw her in the car.
One of the things I do want to, like, here's the thing that I just couldn't let go of. Like, and even if you listen to him now, and again, I haven't looked at the whole timeline. I haven't listened to everything like Jen has to really kind of dial in, but right. I'm just dialing in psychically on it. And I just feel like it just tells me, you know, he wants to point the finger at the attorney. If the attorney had done this, I didn't have this. I didn't have this. Attorney. And listen, I hear it. I totally understand. However, if I am innocent, I'm going to sit here and say, I'm not going to blame the attorney. I'm going to say, you know what?
Jay.
No, you're not. You're not. If you are innocent, you are going to say, you know what? I will take my dying breath proving to you I'm innocent. I did not do this. I didn't do it.
Well,
I wasn't there.
That's
it
what he says.
Yeah. But he doesn't really. Like,
yeah, but then he says he should have admitted his guilt.
He should have said,
taken the
well,
plea
he's
or
saying,
whatever.
He keeps saying, oh, I would have gotten out quicker had I taken a plea.
Yeah. No,
something doesn't feel right.
And if he, you're right, if he is innocent, why isn't he going, who did it?
You guys are looking at
the wrong
person.
There are some things that he doesn't do. He doesn't lash out at Jay. Makes up this story about how, you know, well, you just don't do that with people on the outside
because
if you ever have
music.
If you ever I know it's happening. And then if maybe Christina's back, she wants to rebuttal.
I also want to say for all of our listeners out there, the way that Colby did it is the accurate way to look into an investigation when you're a psychic medium. You are not supposed to have any evidence at all whatsoever.
Right.
I did it completely We tried because I wanted to listen to it, yeah. Not just to see what comes through, but on a normal investigation, I would never, ever, ever know anything about it. And so the way that she's getting the information is very clear when it comes through from the, you know, from the other side, right. Which is the right way to do
it. Now, let me get on to something else because I want to do.
Well, really quick, I just want to say, like, I understand we're talking about Adnim and whether or not he's innocent. I just don't forget, a girl died. A girl is not here. Mm-hmm. She's not living her life.
It's a horrible tragedy.
You know, and I just don't want to forget the victim.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
The world lost a soul.
Right. I agree.
Not in the right way. She was too young. Too young.
And apparently, yes, it's tragic, but apparently she was so full of life and she was smart and she was going places. And it's just, it really is a tragedy.
Okay, so, I mean, now on that note, I wanted to discuss where she passed, and because you guys all had kind of vision, you saw the car, mm-hmm. and Jennifer actually saw two places. She saw her in side of the road.
So
on a rock.
I felt like she was in an apartment somewhere, uh-huh. at first. Mm-hmm. Just I'm getting a view of, and this is where it either comes from her view of what I'm seeing, which is a small little dingy place with a bathroom in the corner kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. but you know, so it, that part is being shown to me. And then I see her sitting up in the car next to where her, you know, next to a robe. It doesn't look like where she was buried. Looks like she was taken there, but mm-hmm. it's similar.
Is she by herself?
It's very similar. No. And I do feel that there was three people involved. There was three people involved. I do believe that, you know, I want Adnan to be not guilty. I want it to be that way. I want
you guys to hear the tape I did with Khalees. We pre-taped. Okay. And she gave me a description of her.
But I want to say, it feels to me that she's in the passenger seat. It feels to me that she's definitely dead, even before Jay gets there. So even before Jay does see the body dead. I think he does know it's going to happen. I think he's somehow an accomplice to it. But I think he helped kill her physically? No, but he knew it was happening. And he knew it after the fact. He helped cover it up, and that's why he was so afraid. I do feel like it's premeditated in a way. I kind of feel like it's not that he was a jealous lover per se. I think he was more worried about a secret getting out.
Yeah,
and
I think
he just was so afraid of somebody finding out, because she's a very boisterous person.
Yeah,
you know, she knew a lot.
She was mouthy. She's mouthy though. She's right. You know, a talker.
Yeah, she pursued Dawn.
Well, she's just, you know, she's fun.
I love that.
And so I felt like that threatened him, and I felt like he was like
they're in high school, and you're 17-year-old girls in high school.
And one
mouthy.
Of the things I feel like is
for sure.
When you say that he is, you said, oh, I like, he's a charmer. Hello, Ted Bundy's a charmer.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Ted Bundy was one of the most charming, handsome, sexy men who lured every friggin' woman. So the fact that he's nice and charming and seems like a good guy.
OJ.
That doesn't.
It's true.
No, I know. Without a doubt.
Scott Peterson.
Exactly.
I think you're right on the money.
I just feel like my gut, it just so.
There's, like she said at the end, she's just like, she wants so bad.
Yeah.
We all want so bad to have him not be guilty, but there's, you know, with Jay knowing where the car was, right? With the fact, there was just too many.
He's not going to lie about a body being in the trunk. He's not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. He did lie, though, about helping bury the body.
Wouldn't you? Listen. No.
So, by the way.
I would probably lie. You think I'm going to tell the truth?
No, right. What you think girls are saying, take off the serial killer guy. So he's out. Obviously. Yeah. It's not the serial killer.
Well, he's already dead anyway.
Right. So it's not him, obviously. Because why is Jay talking about bodies and burying? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Obviously, it's one of those two.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody else involved.
Somebody
with
else. And I do feel like it even.
Well, let's cue up.
You think it was somebody else, huh?
Khalees's pre-tape. We'll hear her point of view.
Where's your beer?
I have Talise Simone on line. She's a regular on Calling Out. She's a New York-based psychic medium, a certified spiritual advisor with the Lisa Williams International School of Spiritual Development. And as everybody knows, Lisa Williams is probably one of the best of the best. And if you're certified by Lisa Williams, you've basically proven yourself. She also works with the Holistic Studies Institute of New York and also proved practitioner at the Edgar Case ARE Center of New York. She's binged through the 11 episodes of Serial, as we all did during the Christmas break, and we all find it, you know, a really interesting story. I, you know, had been requested by one of my Facebook followers, Janelle Brennan Tillman, who basically was like, you know, you should have, it'd be great to know what your psychics think about this. And so I just sort of put the word out, Kalise, to everybody, and whoever was game, I basically said, okay, let's do this. And I haven't spoken to you about what you've read. You just sounded really enthusiastic about it and thought, okay, this is really interesting. When you hear a podcast like this, can this stuff come to your head? How do you tap into information? I mean, can you somehow feel some kind of a spiritual realm around you, or you just get sort of a psychic feeling?
Yeah, it is like that. I mean, when I'm listening to the podcast, I have this, you know, and I think a lot of people do, even if they're not psychic, but I have this running voice in my head that is like a second commentary while while Koenig's talking. I've got in my head, you know, this other commentary saying, well, that sounds right, but that doesn't sound right, and that feels right, but that doesn't feel right, and what about this, and it was probably this. So, you know, I try to take as many notes as I can while I'm listening, but when I disconnect from the podcast or when I pause it and go and do something, that's when all the information really floods in for me.
Oh, so it sort of just, it floods your head and you just can't stop thinking. I mean, most people are like that when they're listening to this podcast. I mean, we all kind of have all these ideas of what could or could not be. Does that sound valid or invalid? Or are we, you know, am I making up these stories in my head? I mean, I made a bunch of stories up in my head, clearly, but we won't talk about that right now. But so what really, what do you have to say? I mean, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel that we probably have about 70% of the facts from what is presented in the case. I do feel there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, particularly to do with the amount of involvement that people have in the case. Basically, to jump right in, someone like Jay definitely is covering up the amount of involvement that he has. You know, that to me makes a lot of sense based on the kind of person he is and based on the energy that I get with him. I don't feel his energy is malicious. I don't feel that, you know, he really is trying to like do something bad, but I just feel that he's covering up for himself because he's naturally quite paranoid. I also don't think he's super aware of the reality of the situation. And I feel like he's sort of overprotective of himself. But I just keep feeling that there's more that he did than he lets on. And I feel that that's why his story keeps changing. You know, but again, when I tune into his energy and I look at him as a person, as a standalone, I don't really feel like anything creepy about him. I don't really feel scared or anything like that. It's just kind of, you know, he got involved in something and got dragged into it. And it just kind of feels like there's more than he's letting on because he doesn't want to be ending up in jail as well. Overall, I mean, the hardest part about this is that every person involved seems to have smoked weed. So you are going to get a lot of stories changing, whether someone's telling the truth or not, to the best of their ability. So that's when I have to sort of go in on a psychic level and say, what's the intention behind the story? You know, are they making a genuine mistake when they're telling something that's misinformation, or are they genuinely trying to be malicious here? And that's been the biggest thing. You know, a 17-year-old brain is not fully developed. The the frontal sections of the brain are still developing. You're smoking weed on top of that. You've got, you know, emotions and hormones. So there, you know, the memory is going to jump around a little bit.
Plus they're all pot smokers too.
Right. That's basically the.
All right. First of all, I mean, listen, it's weed. I don't think the stories are going to change a ton. It's weed. We're not on crack cocaine right now.
That's why they've legalized it.
I'm sure there's a lot of stoners listening to the show.
No, but listen.
They're highly offended right now.
Now, she does have a point about the paranoia.
Right.
And the weed. But smoking weed is not my drug of choice if I'm going to be a killer.
Well, I thought the same thing. I used to be a stoner. And if I killed somebody, I would not want to get high.
But I think and it's not that he's like a naturally paranoid person. I just want to respectfully disagree, because actually I love Khalees.
But I think she's tapping into this weird paranoia.
But I feel like, he's paranoid because he's part guilty. Think about if you do something wrong, you're so afraid of getting caught.
Totally. Right.
Like, and then you don't want to come clean. Right. You don't want to get caught. But you're going to keep saying stuff till you're not caught.
And you're 17. She does tap on the 17-year-old brain, which, by the way, they're assholes, okay? I've said it three times
now. One of the last podcasts for Serial, when he did officially work at the porn store, he was pacing back and forth. Remember the white van that was us? So that behavior of being guilty, like you said, mm-hmm. also has to do with the fact that he might have been doing crack cocaine.
Or not something else,
okay, because mm-hmm. he was his description of being paranoid.
Okay,
was
so
different.
But really, really, yeah, super
not to offend,
that's
not
a good
to
point.
Offend any crack cocaine.
But
people.
Super, super, super quick. I have a friend, April, and she and I, we tap in. Like, we don't give each other the story. We'll say
that's
red or
we
blue.
Work.
We say yes
right,
or no.
Right.
And
it's always
and she and I are like so in tune on so many things, and she's phenomenal shaman. Mm. And all I said to her, guilty or innocent. And she replied back, guilty. And I was like, see, I just trusted that.
So let's keep moving.
All right.
If you've ever had a friend that smoked weed or spoken to anyone that smoked weed, you know that just in general, their personality is not consistent, let alone the stories they tell. So I don't think that really helps the case here. But, you know, when...
They're all drug addicts.
I don't really know where to start here, but basically, overall, when I tune in, I just get this feeling like... There are some things that we don't know. And I keep seeing a scene clairvoyantly, which means I see it in my mind's eye, of Hay standing in the woods, jumping out of a car, having an argument with this other person.
No.
And I do feel there's a male around. You know, I can't quite tell if it's Anand or if it's Jay. It feels like it's a younger male. I keep seeing a red jacket. And either the inside
of the red
jacket has flannel or one of the shirts has flannel on it. Because I keep seeing this pattern on this jacket. The jacket feels like it's a red jacket. And they're having this argument. And she's like, why are we here? What are we doing here? You know, like she's pissed off. Like she's clearly angry with the situation and she wants to get back to doing whatever she was doing.
Okay, so Jennifer,
she's definitely dead before she gets to that field. She is, you know, she's not going to sit there and drive 45 minutes outside of where they...
Unless she gets some good crack.
She's not. And her car, remember, she left her car. She's not going to sit there and get in a car, drive 45 minutes in the middle of nowhere, stop at the middle of a forest, get out of the car and say, why are we at a forest? Like, who? Who? I don't care.
She was supposed to be at a wrestling match, too.
I don't know.
Now back to the red jacket. Back to the red jacket.
I saw red, too, just for the record. I just picture Jay in a red, like a red.
He had red gloves.
They did?
Jay mentioned that he had red gloves on in the Walmart.
Okay.
Aren't you guys glad I listened?
Yeah.
And he may have had a matching red jacket.
Did you say Walmart?
Did I say Walmart?
Yes,
oh, sorry.
It's interesting. Okay. I'm seeing a red and black checkered though. Remember that old flannel checkered
look?
I'm seeing more something.
That's Pearl Jam.
But
99.
Regardless,
I printed a bunch of pictures off the internet.
None of them are wearing a red and black.
Yeah, I was kind of.
But there was red involved, and if that color comes through for investigation, no,
it could be blood.
Okay,
maybe for you,
but.
I picture her car red for some reason.
I picture it tan. the car that she was killed in, I feel like it was a tan. Like,
okay.
I picture her car.
So anyway, right. she jumps out of the car, according to Khalees, and she's like, what the hell are we doing here? We need to get back. I need to get to my wrestling match, because she did have to be.
Right. Yeah, right? That chick was like, what the hell? You left me hanging.
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget about her. What was that girl's name?
So something was up, but... Right. But the question was whether this was a young man. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't some guy that just got out of jail. And right. She was clearly with somebody she knew, if this was the case.
Right.
Okay. This is Khalees's vision.
Yeah. Yes.
We're just sort of going by.
It's good. Yep. It's fine. It's
okay.
Fine. It's fine.
Keep going.
Go, Khalees.
I'm seeing what looks like her being strangled. But again, this isn't happening in the car. And this is the main part where I have a difference to what everyone's saying, because I keep seeing it happening in the woods out of the car. And, you know, whether they decided to take a shortcut that day, or, you know, whether they just landed up there accidentally, or there was a story told we have to go here, I'm not sure. But I keep seeing them in the woods. And I hear things coming from, I don't want to claim that I connected to Hayes' spirit, but psychically, there was one meditation that I did where I heard a lot of information, because I'm quite clairaudient, and I kept hearing her saying, they're pinching my throat, they're pinching my throat. So it was like this pinching feeling around her neck.
Well, she was getting strangled.
And that her body was in the car for several hours. So another inconsistency with the story is they keep saying she died at 2:36. But I kind of feel that it happened a little later than that. And that would make a lot more sense with all facts that are presented, such as, you know, Anand being at the library and, you know, had he been involved, or, you know, that's one of the theories, is that basically this all happened at a later time. The other theory that was swirling around with me a lot was that perhaps Anand wasn't directly involved, and, you know, perhaps there was someone else that did this either separately or on his behalf. Overall, what I have to say about his involvement, like, when I look at his picture, I see the potential for the duality in his personality. I see that potential
Which
there with his
Colby
energy.
Mm-hmm.
I would
wait,
be more
surprised. Wait, could you say that again?
I see the potential for the duality in his personality.
Yes. Okay.
That he can come across being super, super charming, but then maybe have this other side, which is more passionate, more emotive, possibly a little darker. You know, it's just the... It feels like the other side that is the public presentation is quite surface. I just find it very hard to latch onto that as being the full picture, especially when I look at his photo and, you know, I look at his energy, I see that there's something else there.
Okay,
and,
hold it there.
You know, and that's...
Yeah, and let me say something about that. Sarah Koenig, the reporter... She did not want to see that dark side.
No.
She kept saying, oh, but nobody said that he had that. Nobody can put any... She is a little on... I don't want to get political, but
she wasn't doing it in a true reporter sense.
Yeah, she had a little bit of
It's called a crush.
Is that what's it called? A crush? No,
infatuation.
I think that she had. I want to believe.
She told it like a story, but she wanted it to come out the way
she wanted to believe he was innocent.
She also
it's like a Entertainment Tonight, right? Where it's slanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Or Fox News, totally unbiased.
yeah. She kept I think she kept a lot of that out.
No,
but then
there
is the dark. I mean,
Now the only thing about the timeline, which wouldn't make sense, is if he ended up at the mosque at 7 o'clock, and this, like, it was all being pushed later in each of the testimonies. It got later and later. Like, it started early, and then they said that she was killed during a certain time based on her autopsy or whatever. His track coach didn't really keep very good track of who was on the field.
But Jen, his track coach didn't see him, right?
Well, they didn't.
He couldn't say one way or another.
Yeah, it's track. Okay?
They didn't keep roll.
Yeah, it's not like the football team where you have to be there. Now, it was also Ramadan, so he had to be somewhere at a certain time.
And
you don't miss Ramadan because you're the one bringing the food, so you have to show up.
Not just that, remember the starvation aspect, right?
Yes.
So you mentioned earlier.
Well, if he was actually practicing Ramadan.
If he was practicing it.
Smoking weed.
Yeah, how can you smoke weed?
Nulls and voids that.
But think about the hallucinations.
But you have to wait till during Ramadan, you can only eat during the nighttime hours between sunup and sundown, you can't eat. So, but not everybody practices it.
Well, I mean, and if he's dating a girl he's not supposed to be dating and he's not really following right. everything else, and he actually stole from the mosque or something like that, I'm not exactly sure he's dotting I's and crossing T's here.
Well, I have kind of a interesting tidbit of information. My daughter dated a Muslim who was a football player in high school, and he practiced Ramadan during football season, and he starved all day long, and then they ate at sunset. I mean, but it was a big deal. They all had to really go and be together right. as a family. But, you know, I had to watch the kid play football, and he was not abnormal.
No. Was he allowed to date your daughter?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, they dated in high school, and he was a great kid. I loved him.
And I was only bringing that up based upon his mental state, not because of what he did or didn't do. I was basing it upon if he did practice that day happened to be the one thing other than, right. for, you know,
but I mean, maybe he was like in the library. It might have happened later. Right. He may have just not, you know, maybe he left track in between
The thing is, so I ran track. I ran for 4 years indoor. Spring track, cross country. I mean, I ran track, so I'm a runner, or used to be.
Yes, you are.
One of the things is the coach, they would look at the name. And here's the thing. It's, you know, maybe you're not checking in.
Well, the coach said he didn't really remember.
That's the thing. But here's the thing. If you had seen me, I mean, it's a kid in murder. If you had seen me, you're going to remember you right. saw me. Mm. Now, if you're not remembering, maybe it's because you didn't want to say you didn't because you know your kids.
But they're asking questions 3 weeks after the
right.
fact.
And like, he already knows that he's, mm-hmm. you know, it's for a time.
It's hard to really pin everybody down
I'm
like
just,
that.
But I understand. I'm circling.
And God, the track coach probably was smoking pot too.
The biggest thing is Adnan doesn't remember his day. Like that to me, if you are convicted, if you're being told, hey, you might be up for the rest of your life in prison, you right. better remember that day, something.
And, right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just
I'm just circling back to this whole Sarah, the reporter, and her wanting Adnan
we
to
all
be
do.
Well, it was a great series. It really kept you.
And also, like, I have Middle Eastern nieces and nephews. Okay, my brother married into that family, and they're a tight knit family. And boys in that family, there's tons of them, and they're good looking. But they're very respectful.
They didn't have
they're
sex,
They're very respectful.
Lynette.
Yes,
daughter
they did.
And her boyfriend didn't have
well,
sex.
Well, my boys, they smoked pot. These kids, they smoked
and
pot.
And they didn't smoke pot either.
They have a pot
Paulina
store.
Paulina didn't drink until, what did she tell you? She was like 18 before she had a drink or something?
Well, I'm just saying, these Middle Eastern
BYU.
Boys, they're Doesn't very respectful. You walk in the room, they hi, Auntie Lynette. They give me a hug and a kiss. How are you? I tell your mother I said hello. This is 16, 17-year-old boys. That's what they do. These,
right.
That's their
oh,
culture.
Oh, no, they're so loving.
So
they're great
she,
boys. There were four boys in
reporter,
that
right. So I think this reporter really had that wanting to prove that he's innocent kind of thing.
Being Muslim may have worked against him in court also because of the fact that, you know, it's sort of a stereotypical thing. I mean, there was definite racism.
Pakistani.
Yeah, he may have had different twists and turns if he wasn't Arab. But, you know,
one of the things that really struck with me was the fact he called Jay pathetic before he entered the stand. You don't call someone pathetic if he wasn't involved or if he didn't rat on him or if he didn't do anything. You don't say that. You'd say, why'd you do that? Yeah. You'd be in remorse. But he said pathetic.
But see, I think
that's
go ahead, what do you
that
think?
Anger.
Yeah, like to me, like
that was
you
just,
and I are, but let's say, yeah, but you and I are friends, right, Jen?
Right.
And let's say you and I agree that we're never going to talk about a certain subject. Let's just say, right? And then you go and you air it out.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to walk by you and go, you're pathetic, right? Don't you think?
That's what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
that
I agree with you. I agree.
That was my changing point out of everything that
because
I heard. That really affected me.
And think about it. Wouldn't you say, like, let's say you're truly innocent, right? Wouldn't I walk by you and go, dude, what are you doing? Like,
you're
what
ruining
are you thinking?
My thinking. Right.
Of course.
You wouldn't, right.
And
so we got this. Let's go back to trial. I've got this.
Yeah, I think the body language and what they say, they don't really, we brought up earlier about how Dawn, her new boyfriend, who apparently thought Adnan was not such a bad guy.
Right, and they were
like,
trying to force him to say that he was.
Yeah, and then they.
And of course, that's what I'm saying. These Middle Eastern boys, they don't come across as a dick. They come across as a nice kid. Like,
they aren't
respectful.
Because they're Middle Eastern doesn't mean they're bad guys.
But they're though. Right, and they're taught in that.
The culture is very controlling over how they live in society, and it is very confusing to the Westerners
They do teach respect to other people.
A lot of respect.
Always have respect.
And their control is about themselves.
They have better control than my family. I mean,
of course.
Who else would date Dr. Drew's daughter, okay?
Exactly.
Except for a Muslim guy that doesn't drink or have sex. Like, you can't get in the door unless you've got some real strict behavior modifications there.
Right.
You've got to really...
Right.
But not my... My heart goes out to their family for being looked at as the enemy or the criminal as well. And maybe their son did it, and maybe he is, but it's sad to see that kind of thing cloud the judgment of the jury.
Right, it has nothing to do with his culture.
Because we've just lost, we have 6 million.
No, but he is a, you know,
people
he
in
had,
Syria
what
that
we're
are
trying to say is that he's
displaced and
charismatic, like an OJ, and he flipped.
I think OJ
flipped
did it too.
But Misha with the butt dial thing that she keeps focusing on too. That whole thing.
Back
to Dawn.
Dawn Johnson, I picture.
Dawn actually had, she had, okay, start over. Jennifer had
feeling
about Dawn when he found out that she was dead.
Right. When he found out that she was dead, so both of them did not call her after she was missing, which I found very suspect.
What do you mean, both of them?
Both of them. So her current boyfriend, Dawn, didn't ever call her.
I don't think he was really quite her boyfriend, though. Like, it felt to me,
but his response was, I'm going to be the first suspect because I'm the boyfriend.
That's what he said.
But
he said
who says that?
Who says that?
Unless
I'm
going to
be their suspect, so I got to figure, figure out who
he must have been a stand-up guy.
I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't think that. I mean, if someone was with me, if I'm dating someone or someone's around, I'm going to think that too, because it's exactly what the attorney said earlier. He says everyone knows they look to the family first. So,
it's Dawn. It's her boyfriend. It's her.
But you haven't. I mean, I'm sorry. Have you not watched one 48 hours where they haven't gone to the spouse or boyfriend first? Ever?
Well, that's what Mark said. He said they always go. If I die, Drew's the first suspect.
I don't know.
But not at 17. I would have never have thought that at 17.
But
maybe that's my
He was a little
sheltered
bit older.
World.
Yeah, it's different.
It was a really weird remark. You're right.
It was weird for me.
No, what do you think?
It's
though?
Weird,
what do you think about
but
Dawn, Jen,
I just think that he knew more as well.
You think he knows more than
I think he knew more, and he was. You know, off, like they didn't.
And
his mother was the one that basically time stamped where he was.
Maybe, right. I just think,
I
want to
know if Dawn had a red jacket.
But for me, I think, I don't know. And maybe, maybe Jen's.
Can we go into their wardrobe?
But
now
maybe Jen is really, I mean, maybe you're definitely tapping into something also. I think, I don't know, for me, I got the more, he's just more aloof because.
In the beginning.
I don't think he was as serious as her, as she was about him. Like, I think she fell for him.
Yeah.
I think he's like, that's cool. I'll just date this chick.
Yes, right.
And so I think he looked at it not really, that's cool. And then like, she's my off. I know that they're going to look at me. Like, I don't know. I don't find it quite so far-fetched as looking at your friend and saying pathetic. And I don't think the three of them are in cahoots to murder this girl. Like,
I don't
that
think
to
so
me
either,
doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense, but it bothered me. If somebody I loved or was dating went missing.
But how do they feel about you? No, he didn't love her. See, I don't think he loved her.
He said he did.
I don't know.
And
he
I'll
said
tell
he
you,
did after.
I had a lot of things swirling around in my head at the beginning because I was just trying to go by my instinct, which is not always very good. But I thought that, Jay was in love with Stephanie, mm-hmm. who was best friends with Adnan.
And I think, yes.
And the whole thing about go buy Stephanie a gift because it's her birthday. Now, that wouldn't be a normal thing to do unless you had it. Now that you're girlfriend and you broke up, you thought maybe this was a way to get to Stephanie. Do something nice for Stephanie and then maybe Jay was interested in getting rid of Adnan because of the fact that they were so close, and if he
that was definitely a threat.
I mean, that was sort of my instinct, but and then, you know, him helping bury the body and all this stuff and saying, oh, sure, I'll help you. You know, there had to be something also maybe that
much more
that Hay knew about the two of them or the three of them or something. Like, she had something on them. There was another reason why.
But I keep feeling like, Jim, what do you think? Like, I don't know. There's a part of me that keeps feeling like Adnan keeps trying to create an alibi. Oh, I'm at the computer checking my email. Oh, go buy this thing so you can know we're here. Take my phone so you see me at the library. Like, it feels to me like he's
the driving force.
He's trying to think of I want other people to see so I have an alibi so they can say they saw me or so they can say we did this. I don't know. You know what I mean? What do you think?
I don't think it was that.
No?
I mean, I don't feel it being premeditated that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I agree with you, though.
Weird coincidence. I completely agree with you.
But I don't think I don't think it was something that was said. I think I think what happened is it happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then
he started.
He started
spinning out.
This is where we have to get in the heads of the person that murdered.
Yeah, but
before it happened.
See, that's what I think, though.
I think that it, from what I was getting from the intuitive side, the logical side says yes.
Yeah.
You know, but the intuitive side for me says that it happened, he freaked out, got Jay involved, and said, we need to figure this out.
Right, right. I wasn't at the library. I was at Best Buy.
Yeah. Who else was there, though? Mm-hmm. And he had to be at Ramadan, so somebody had to bury the body because he couldn't do it. But who else was there? What were they doing? And what made him?
Wait a minute.
Now,
you think he would...
But the fact is,
they buried her.
I don't know. I feel a little torn between, was it a passion killing? But see, there's a little bit saying it wasn't. There is a little premeditation, only because he told Jay, I'm going to kill her.
That's what Jay said.
I believe.
I don't believe that.
That might have been the part that they told him to say.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. For the 3 hours.
That doesn't sound
interrogation. And that's
the story he told was so flawless. And he's he was 17-year-old, you know, druggie.
But if you tell the truth, you know, at least
the police had something to do with that.
I'm not saying they didn't. I'm not saying that they didn't, but he's not going to have enough time to rehearse it. But prior to getting it all interviewed, when he's telling, there's just to me an essence of truth about it.
Yes,
and
yes,
so it doesn't really.
Yes, I agree.
To me, details don't matter. Like,
I agree. Well, that's
where was she killed? I don't know if it really matters.
Right. And it doesn't matter.
When, you know, did the kid get a fair trial? I mean, listen, he should have a fair trial. He definitely deserves that. But
especially the family definitely deserves it. And the community.
Yeah.
It's that's the bad part. And, you know, I think we've all sort of decided that, you know, based on intuition and what we've seen, that it may be clear that it doesn't look that good for Adnan.
Well, here's the biggest tragedy of all is that this goes on every day.
I know.
Everywhere.
It's true.
I was like Garrigo said, it's unbelievable.
Well, Khalees did. I wish we could play the rest of Khalees's tape. I'll put it on my website if anybody wants to hear the rest. But she did mention that when we got off the phone that she'd been to Baltimore, and she said it really gave her the creeps. Like, she said it was not a great place, like, just to be in. She said spiritually it really freaked her out. But, you know, I know
the description of that park of Lincoln, L-E-A-K.
Where
you take a leak.
We're the streaker.
Yeah. But Jen, where do you feel like she crossed over? Where do you think she passed away?
Yeah, tell us.
What do you think? Or,
you know, I'm not sure where she crossed over. Yeah. I keep going back to that apartment.
Really?
Okay.
But I get her.
Well, you told me you saw a rock at the beginning, and I was like, "Oh, that's similar." And then you changed it to the apartment.
No, no, no. But this is, you got to understand. So when I get cases, or when I remote view.
Well, you have three different takes on it. So
I didn't get where she. I'm not being shown her getting strangled.
Right.
Okay. I don't know where that happened. I'm getting shown locations, and that's where this is what I hand over to police if they were to ask.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I would describe the three locations. It's not going to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. This doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I can't take it and figure it out. But,
you know, but it will make sense to them. And that's all that matters. Right.
Right. Right.
We want this to make sense.
We want to know who had a red coat.
Trying to make sense of this.
If anybody out there knows who had a red coat.
Red was significant, though, because I kept getting red, but on the side of the road. So, but I didn't see her. I saw the back of some guy.
Mr. Okay. S?
You know what? I don't know. I still, you know.
He had a big bathrobe on.
Poor guy. No. I'm just going to take a leak.
Or okay, trench coat.
What
wait,
about
trench
you,
coat
Rebel?
Sam?
Do you feel hey, do you feel her? Do you feel?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when I listen to, that's why I didn't look at any of this stuff because when I was listening to
that's
the podcast,
the right way to do it.
I just felt like I was tapping into her, like not even trying, like not even, but I could just feel her and I could hear what she's saying and I could hear when the reporter was saying certain things. She's saying that's not true, that's not right. Don't listen to that. Like you know, so I feel like she's trying to get the truth out. And I feel like, you know what, as much as I do really in my heart believe this should be done fair and square,
yes,
I feel like on a karmic level it was done fair and square. There is a sense of justice for me. So in my soul, I feel okay. In my heart, I feel like this kid, you know, let him have his time in court, and, you know, and let a third jury let a judge reevaluate and then say, is there enough? Is there enough to look at this again? Because if there's not enough, that says a lot.
And check the DNA
to
see.
I don't know what they're gonna. Yeah,
because
the DNA
is
really tough because they probably.
How do you
but
test?
They probably
Jennifer actually said that. She heard him say, you know, when he spoke, please get it checked. You know, maybe that'll be. And
he's
honestly,
like they never checked it. He couldn't believe they never checked it.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, I do believe
they knew they didn't have to, but still, they should have.
And that didn't come from his, you know, sociopathic personality.
Yeah.
That came from his like.
Yeah, I wonder if it had Jay's DNA all over it.
It could have.
When he's calling
but
him
it
pathetic.
Could.
But I mean, you know what I mean.
But it could.
And if he did it, and he's just saying this to get notoriety.
And what about
notoriety.
Jay's girlfriend? Jay's girlfriend knows way more.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
Right.
Stephanie, mm-hmm.
And she was out.
I know what happened.
First, when they first came to her, when the investigators came to her, she didn't want to talk. She mm-hmm. well, maybe another day. She didn't want to go down to
she
the
knew
station.
Both of them inside and out.
Then, yeah. Then she got her mom and
an attorney.
And then
Gloria
she went
Allred,
and talked.
Not really,
right.
But
then
same.
She went and talked. And and then the way she talked was like, okay, this is what happened. Like, she's sort of repeating what somebody told her to say. It
yes.
sounded to me.
Well,
in
she had to be
recordings.
Coached.
She's,
yeah. This is her life.
No,
yeah.
I think it had
then,
something. There was something in there about
and
her.
She
I
was,
know, that
what
was
about
my
the
but I'm not a clairvoyant, so I can't really tell you.
What about the friend at the
Asia?
Library that said she saw him at the library?
Asia?
Now,
yeah.
Asia. When did she
fuck?
Say that? Did she, didn't she say that later?
She wrote
like,
a letter.
Way later, though.
She
right?
wrote it. She wrote it the second she found out he was, you know,
arrested.
She wrote that letter, you know, and she came back and talked about it.
And then when she was older, they went back to talk to her and she said, well, you know, I hope they got the right guy, you know, and she was an older person and she said, you know, I didn't want to stay involved with that because, you know,
but that's
if he's
the
a,
thing,
if
though.
He's a psychopath.
If you're a 17-year-old and you write a letter to the authority saying,
but
I saw.
But you know what, though? I don't know. I think at 17, I was much more... I'm much
coachable.
More at 42, you know, at 42, I'm much more willing to stand up for what I think, what I believe, what I
right.
saw, what I'm much more willing to be scrutinized now
yeah.
than I was at 17.
Of course.
And
absolutely.
So I think there's a
choice. She didn't
you know?
Have to say anything.
But, yeah.
She could have kept zipped it. You know, she didn't have to say anything. And then there was the other chick that said,
and
I'll see you at the what was it that Hay was supposed to meet her. But she was like, I'm
wrestling match.
Wrestling match. I'm not going to get on the bus with you, but I'll meet you there. Oh, what was up with that?
She didn't show up and she was pissed. So she knew when she had left school and then when she went missing.
Yeah.
We're confusing our listeners now.
Yeah, because that's, you know, she was the last person who saw her before she died.
Right.
And on that, I think we've given our points of view and I think Mark was a huge
Mark.
Help
he's awesome.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He depressed me though.
I'd like him.
Really?
I'd like him to bring somebody who's
It's depressing to
it's
think
depressing.
That this is what happens constantly. Like when he
this
said the caller that called the police and gave them the tip
was
look
the
at the
police.
Boyfriend. Like was it? But what that was the police? That could have been the police. Like that shit fucking happens. Sorry.
Yeah, and he's a really
that's
great
insane.
Defense attorney, and he does believe that everybody should have a.
Fair trial.
Fair
yeah.
trial.
Yes,
and I agree.
He's going to come in studio next time with the bottle
yes.
of tequila.
Yeah, we'll bring his daughter, Tenny, who's an amazing girl.
Tenny,
and
she's
we
awesome.
We love Tenny, and we love Paulette, and we love everybody in the
yes.
Garagos family. And we love you guys for coming in and sharing your time and your expertise. And
thank
Lynette,
you, Susan.
You're an amazing co-host, as usual.
Passionate
awesome.
And you can find her on Calling For Crying Out Loud.
It's a crying calling.
For Crying Out Loud.
Crying Out Loud.
You can hear more about Stephanie
Wilder Taylor's my co-host.
Yeah, they actually talk a lot about this case. I know you guys are big followers.
Yeah, Stephanie, on our Facebook page on For Crying Out Loud, she's all over it. So she's got a whole conversation going over there.
And then also 10th Avenue Podcast.
10th Avenue. If you're a Springsteen fan.
I'm coming on that. Yeah. I'm coming. And me are going to talk about Bruce.
Yes. Mm. 10th Avenue Podcast. I've had Artie Lang. And
we're
going to
talk about Secret
Garden. Too Fat, Too Fish.
Gary Delfani and Phil Rosenthal. This year, I'm going to have Bill Simmons and you, the rebel psychic. Come on and talk. Mangria. Go buy Mangria.
Oh, yes.
Paola Digital.
This is the funny thing about Lynette. She runs around from city to city selling Mangria. So
my husband makes me
run. If you have a bar or a restaurant that you want to sell Mangria, it's amazing product.
It's delicious.
It's a mixture of vodka
and wine. And get you effed up
and
quack,
something
quick.
Sweet.
It's distilled vodka with wine, and it's from it's
and we've
from
been
Napa.
Drinking the whole time we've been on.
Sounds
the
like a hangover.
And if you want beautiful skin, contact me for
also,
Rodan and Fields.
And also, she is a rep for Rodan and Fields. She also made me a rep for Rodan and Fields.
Yeah, I'm going to get you on
since
that.
July, and I have made no customers except myself so far.
That's going
to change. So if you want to log on to my website and go to Rodan and Fields, you can be one
it's
of my
Susan
customers.
Pinsky. I'll take care of you, okay?
You guys need a whole other show just for
contact
plugging.
Contact her, and I'll take care of you for her.
Lynette's,
as her customer.
Lynette's getting tweaked already, but and we're going to go smoke a blunt after this.
Yeah,
in honor
we are.
Of Adnan and
Don't
and
tell
Jay.
Your husband.
And also Jennifer Schaefer, who is also a Lisa Williams student, but one of the best clerks.
She's certified. She is certified.
You guys heard all the qualifications.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh. She is at Jennifer Schaefer. Schaefer.com if you have any interest in
having
a psychic reading. And I'm Susan Pinsky. This is the Sideshow Network.
And Colby.
And Rebel.
Don't forget Rebel.
They'd already said you.
Okay. No, you didn't.
Okay. Psychic Rebel Colby is at psychicrebel.com. And she's, you know,
it's
everybody knows her. And she's the best.
And if you have a case, we do have an academy where we have members that have been tested and thoroughly background checked, where you can submit a case. And we have a forensics team that looks over things. We do it pro bono. So just throwing that out there.
If you need any help and if you want to come on the show and talk about something like that too, we can also set that up. Go to Facebook, Susan Saylor Pinsky, or Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, which is my smaller Facebook. It's growing
it's
slowly. And also Susan Saylor Pinsky or Calling Out with Susan Pinsky.com or at First Lady of Love. I do respond.
She responds to her tweets.
You know, it's been a long winter.
Everybody's on Twitter, right? Jen's on Twitter.
I am. I just don't know how to use it.
What about you?
I am.
From
at Psychic Rebel. I try to make my little tweets.
Psychic Rebel.
And then also Lynette Carolla.
I respond
like Lynette Carolla.
I do respond to all my tweets.
But we're out there, kids.
We are.
Find us and be sure to send a donation if you want us to keep going. A couple bucks a month would be great. Push my PayPal on Calling Out with Susan Pinsky and
keep her sailing.
Drew told me to say that. So, and because he says Adam does it all the time,
and it works.
And
listen,
and you might even see me on the Adam and Drew show soon. Adam said I might get to come on his podcast.
Oh,
so,
yeah. So cool.
And we're hopefully going to have him in here for a psychic reading soon.
We'll get him in
and
here.
And maybe you should call in too.
Well, yeah.
And
totally.
And just a final rest in peace for Hyman Lee.
Yes. And our heart does go out.
It is national awareness for stalking victims, and I have, you know, several cases dealing with that. One in particular, stalking is very serious, and it is something you shouldn't take lightly if you are a victim or if you're a member of a family that's had victims. Just wanted to point that out there. That's really a Debbie Downer.
Thank you.
I did not mean to say
and
that.
Thank you for reminding me. One more thing before we go. Just because I'm on the board of directors at hillsides.org, which is a foster care company program mm-hmm. in Pasadena. We take care of over 1,000 yes. families in the Los Angeles basin, and we do have a benefit coming up on February 28th
awesome.
At the Langham. And if anybody wants to buy a ticket and come donate your time and money and have a great show at the Langham, we will be auctioning off lots of great items, one of which will be you get to co-host with Susan Pinsky nice. On Calling Out. So if you want to buy a $300 ticket, you might be able to get yourself a co-hosting job on the show. Yes, Lynette will be there. There'll be a lot of celebrities there and a lot of fun people. So join us. I hope we'll have some of my mediums joining us, and we yes. should get a
wink, wink.
We're gonna have to yes. have a table of mediums, huh?
Mediums at large.
Yes, and thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Today's outro music for Calling Out with Susan Pinsky has been brought to you by the band DNK, and it's a wonderful song called Heartache. Trying to see right through me. This silly boy, he thinks he's messing with a newbie. Rock him, drop him, never stop him. Hearts are falling into jerk. I'm always trying to want him. Only use him when I want him. Cold, cold, ice cold hearts. Since you're talking about me, should have known from the start. Like a fly to the flame, lead you in till I'm finished. Never call it love, it's just heartache, baby. Can't help but mess with fire. But now I feel the burn. Don't want to love a liar. Try to take it slow. You're in love.